let's take up the question of medical marijuana. At least three states have measures on this year's ballot about legalizing it. 25 other states and Washington, D.C. already allow it. Despite the fact that the federal government says marijuana has no medical use and classifies it as a controlled substance. So researchers who study pot have to overcome a lot of bureaucracy. Liz Reed from Here and Now contributor WESA in Pittsburgh goes inside one of the few labs in the country where people are getting high with the federal government's blessing to find out what's true.
Inside a ventilated chamber made of plexiglass and steel sits a young man who's about to do something that in most circumstances would be against federal law.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Liz.
I'm 15.
He introduces himself with his study ID number, 15, rather than his name, because he doesn't want the world to know he's smoking weed in the name of science. It's 8:45 in the morning, and number 15 looks like he just rolled out of bed. He sits down in an office chair, picks up a small metal pipe, and gets to work. The pipe is covered with a metal cap, so neither number 15 nor research assistant Muhammad Warraq knows whether it's a placebo or active marijuana inside. Warraq asks number 15 to tap the sides of the pipe with a lighter to make sure all the weed falls to the middle of the bowl. Each participant in the study has 10 minutes to ingest 10 milligrams of Delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, more commonly known as THC, the psychoactive compound in marijuana. Number 15 isn't wasting any time. Every exhale is followed almost immediately by another hit on the pipe. He finishes in 7 minutes. He's part of a study funded by the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA. Associate Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences Ryan Vandry is running the study at the Behavioral Pharmacology Research Unit at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.
There's been a couple studies comparing drug effects and blood pharmacokinetics for smoking and vaporization, but no study has done all three, blood, urine, and saliva. And there's also been very little evaluation of different doses on drug effects and cognitive performance.
The three-story brick building where this research takes place wouldn't look out of place on any college campus. But scientists here study all kinds of drugs, from caffeine and nicotine to heroin and LSD. So security is tight. After number 15 is done smoking, Warraq takes the pipe he used to the pharmacy to make sure all the marijuana is gone.
So every door has a key card entry?
There are security guards at the building 24/7 and cameras all over the place. You have to have a badge just to get inside, and some doors, like the pharmacy, won't open for just anybody.
Hey, it's Muhammad.
We make our way back toward the smoking room and see number 15 sitting on the ground with his head between his legs. Another research assistant stands next to him with a clipboard, looking worried.
You good? Very lightheaded. Very lightheaded? Okay.
In case you didn't hear that, number 15 says he's very lightheaded, which he'll have to note on the questionnaire he'll fill out about a dozen times over the course of the next 8 hours. He'll also have blood drawn, saliva sampled, urine collected, and vitals measured, and will complete cognitive tasks on the computer. He'll go through the whole process 6 different times on 6 different days, 3 times smoking, 3 times vaporizing with placebo, high-dose, and low-dose weed. Vandry had to go through a university ethics review and get approval from the Food and Drug Administration and the DEA for the 20 grams of marijuana he needs for his study, an amount that would fit inside a sandwich bag.
I contact the folks who are in charge of the NIDA drug supply. I let them know what I need. Then I have to submit a packet of information to them. It includes a DEA ordering form. It includes a copy of the protocol, the IRB approvals, the IND from the FDA, and a copy of my CV. And then
Vandry says it took about 9 months to get the study off the ground. Given all the permissions, bureaucracy, and strict storage and security requirements, I imagine the drugs being delivered in some sort of armored vehicle.
Who delivers it? Like, it's not like UPS, right? It is?
FedEx.
FedEx. Wow. Uh-huh. I would not have expected that.
That's right. After 9 months of legwork and half a dozen permissions, this Schedule I drug is delivered in a FedEx truck. It's just one of many contradictions inherent in marijuana research. Nearly half of U.S. states have legalized the drug specifically for medical uses. Yet, according to the FDA, there are no medical uses for cannabis. Here's Vandry again.
And the DEA has no motivation to unschedule cannabis. And they're sticking with their no established medical benefit, I think, because the FDA hasn't approved it. And nobody's funding the trials to do that FDA would need to see to approve it. And so it's a quagmire. It's driven more by emotion than it is by science.
While the DEA has once again rejected a request to reschedule marijuana, it is making one key change that could impact the pace of research. Currently, all the marijuana that Vandry and other scientists use in their research comes from just one farm at the University of Mississippi. The agency says it will soon begin licensing other farms to grow marijuana for academic and medical research, though it hasn't said when or how many. Meanwhile, the march of states legalizing marijuana for medical purposes continues at a pace far faster than scientists can prove it actually works as a medicine. For Here and Now, I'm Liz Reed.